Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila, and today we're here to talk about websites.
Yeah, you know, we have done 8 or 9 of these podcasts so far, and everything kind of bumps up against the website topic, but we really have never just focused on it, because it's a big question on whether or not you should have a website or not.
Yeah, and well, actually, this is our 10th episode.
Okay,
so it's a
good
milestone.
Thanks for counting.
Yeah, it's a double.
That's why I'm in marketing. I can't count to 10.
Yeah, we're in a double-digit number now, so that's a big deal for us. So, but websites are a big deal to our customers.
Right.
And we get asked a lot. A lot of folks are curious if they should have one or not, why they should have one, how they should do it, what they're doing wrong or right. You know, there's all these questions that come up. So we'll take this opportunity to chat about that.
Yeah. And there is no right answer, by the way. I just want to get that out there in advance, because we've got customers that have come back and bought 2, 3, 5 different kinds of apparel decorating equipment from Coldesi that have never been online. They've never had a website. And then we've had other brand new startups that have created a website and just gone nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually know 2 people specifically that are like the complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
One guy's never sold a shirt in person. He's never seen a customer. And we've got this older gentleman that comes into Coleman & Company a lot. And he was asking the other day, he was asking me, so what's Facebook and should I be on it?
Wow.
And okay. I kind of said, you're doing fine,
man. Yeah, really.
You know, don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it, because sometimes you don't.
Right. So let me ask you, Mark Vila, what's the answer to the question, do you need a website?
Well, if do you need one is, it isn't an easy answer for sure, because as we said, the success of your business is not going to depend on one. But what I say, the reason that you're going to need one is, and nowadays it's a trust building type of thing at minimum. So at minimum, if you've just got some sort of an info website and it's on your business card or it's something that you tell people to go to, it builds some legitimacy to your business. It's a modern day storefront. So you can be in your garage running a business with a plotter or a DTG printer or an embroidery machine, literally taking up, you know, 25% of your garage on an old table that you built, you know, out of scrap material.
Yeah.
But you've got that website that you put together and you look legitimate. So when you visit a business and you say, hey, here's who I am, they look at that and they're impressed.
So I think you answered like a marketing guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think you answered like a marketing guy, because the operative word is there is need.
Okay.
So do you need a website? And I think the short answer is, as far as need goes, is no. I mean, there are people that do 100% of their business just word of mouth and just referral, and they're doing fine. But it hurts our feelings as marketing people when you don't have one, because it's a huge advantage in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So I think, do you need one? I mean, you could potentially make plenty of money to, you know, to keep yourself going in the local community just by walking around with business cards and brochures and everything that we put in our last podcast, which was Offline Marketing Essentials. Plug, plug. Okay, but you don't need one, but it's a great idea to have one.
And the other answer I would give to that is on why the answer might be yes, you need one.
Okay.
Because no matter what, if you have an extremely simple website that has frequently asked questions, a place where customers can fill out some information and send it over to you, a place where they can find your address, find your phone number, all these things that are easily found in one place that you control all of that content, that's going to be a nice thing for your
customers. It is a big deal, yeah.
It's just going to be nice for them to say, go here, there's everything. All the FAQs, artwork requirements, my minimum orders, pictures of all my things I've done before, whatever you want to put on there, it's just a nice place for your customers to be able to go to.
Yeah, and I will say it adds a little gravitas and permanence to your business. So you're not the team mom that just bought a brush and bake machine or a rhinestone machine, cams, and started doing t-shirts for her friends anymore. You know, you're not a embroidery hobbyist that bought a commercial embroidery machine so she could do nicer stuff for her grandkids. Once you have a website, now you, to the outside world, you look like an actual business.
Yeah.
You look like you're there to make money and that you're a professional to deal with.
Yeah, and kind of like what I said, the modern day storefront. You've officially got a storefront, no matter what it, you know, no matter what it is when you've got a website. So, so I think we've answered that, if you need to have one or not. I kind of say yes. Well, just, you could do something.
I'm going to throw, and it's crazy because I actually design websites for a living, and I manage probably as many as you do, Mark. I probably manage 15 to 17 different websites and blogs and things like that. So this is integrated into my lifestyle, but you could also have a Facebook business page.
Yeah.
You could also do a lot, you know, with a free Facebook business page where you can send customers there. You can have pictures, you know, uploaded of your content. You could have some other information there if you are between stages. If you're just getting started, you're not ready to do a website. You could just do a business page.
Because it has all that information it does. Your address, phone number, pictures. You could put frequently asked questions on there. It's a place where your customers can go and fill out some information and contact you.
So that's a good point. You could just think about that as a free website. Now, there are some big disadvantages to that as well. You can't move things around. You can't lay it out any differently than it already is. It's difficult to keep information at the top. You know, so there are a few tricks to that. But, you know, it is an alternative. But once you've decided that you do want to have a web page to represent you and your business, what's the next step?
So the type of website that you want to have.
Okay.
And, you know, I had written down, you know, an info page or an e-commerce page.
Right. And for the layperson out there, that is a page just about you and your business, or an e-commerce page is a shopping cart. And that is where someone can click on something online and purchase.
Yeah, they can click on it, put in their credit card number, click buy, and then now their order is placed. And then there's almost like a little bit of an in-between, and I think we could mention that in a few. But so why would you need one or the other?
I would say that I recently talked to one of our success stories, Sean Benson of Benson Designs. You know, we had the conversation, and he does a lot of business, but it's 100% local. It's in his rather small town in West Virginia. So you're talking about all of his customers are within 50 miles of his house, you know, and he does great business. So all of the people that order from him and will be ordering from him, he knows them. He picks up the phone and calls them. Does he expect to have a random business in his community want to be able to go online and order a shirt? Probably not. So he's got 100% local business. He's not looking to expand into a fulfillment house kind of arrangement. And an informational site is fine because it tells them how to get in touch and how to order and what his policies are.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone that he's going to meet, he'll get a check from, he'll get the credit card from, or he'll physically get the cash. So that's one difference is are you going to see all of your customers?
Right. Is how local is your business and how local do you want it to be?
And then the other is going to be, do you have static products or is it constantly changing? Is everything custom?
I think we should have started with that one because that is an important point.
Yeah. So if you've got specific designs that you consistently make and you sell those all the time, so if you're in the rhinestone business and you've got 40 different rhinestone designs because you deal specifically with, let's say, surfing, you know, and you do surfing rhinestone tanks for you know, beachgoers in California, and that's kind of your business, well, you might be in California, and you might sell to mostly the small community in, say, Huntington Beach or something like that, but you've got a static set of products that aren't always changing. You can put those online where even your local customers can buy them, and that gives you the opportunity to grow, to possibly pick up business of people who just found you online or were referred to you because they saw a shirt.
That is a great point, but it's also kind of a differentiator there because if you're just doing an informational site, like let's say it's a blog format in WordPress or something along those lines, or just whatever GoDaddy offers you as a free website when you get hosting, If you're just going to have an informational website, then that is pretty static content. Mm-hmm. You know, you can update it all the time, but your address is going to be the same. Your policies are going to be the same. You know, all of your contact information, your about us isn't going to change. You could do that once and then just check back every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, to mm-hmm. make changes with it. If you have a shopping cart, it is a commitment to keep things updated.
Yeah.
Because you're going to change designs. You are going to not have this size T-shirt. You're going to pick up a new product line. You're going to do something different. So it's rare, and you can tell just by what's on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare that you go to Amazon or Zazzle or Cafe Press and you see the same thing on the front page.
Yeah.
You know, so an e-commerce site is a commitment to the website more than just an informational
you'll
site.
You'll be visiting it. You'll be on the site every day on the back end of it.
Checking orders.
Right. Updating things because e-commerce also can become stale.
Yes.
And your customers are not going to want to go back to see what's new if nothing's ever new.
Right.
So that's a huge thing to think about is the commitment that you're willing to put into the website if you're going to go e-commerce. And then I mentioned kind of an in-between.
Yeah.
And I've seen this on some customers where they've got order forms online. So they've created forms online where customers can input a lot of the information as if they're creating an order. So they would have fields that they would have to fill out. So say, what am I ordering? You know, T-shirts or caps? Right. How many do I need? What text is going to be on there? What sizes are, you know, what sizes do I need? They have a lot of things to fill out, but they're not actually completing a transaction on there. What they're submitting. They're submitting an order to be reviewed and possibly to be quoted. The website probably won't even quote.
Right.
So that's a place where you are encouraging customers to ask for what they want online to be contacted on the phone or via email for a quote and further information.
I like that option a lot. I'm also going to split the difference in another way.
Okay.
And that's I was just looking up online while we were talking, one of our bigger direct-to-garment printer customers is the Nesting Project, and they do some really interesting stuff with printing wedding invitations on wood and doing custom T-shirts. They got their start by having a very nice informational website that linked out to Etsy.
Okay.
So they had an Etsy page, and you still have to do similar maintenance to if you're running your own e-commerce page, but you could have an Etsy page or an eBay store and just link to it from an informational website.
Yeah, and that was actually the other one I was going to say was the linking to the eBay store as well. So those are some good in-betweens.
Although I just want to go on record saying that I hate eBay. I hate the interface. I hate everything about it.
Oh, I'm not going to go on record saying anything about eBay. If there's an eBay executive...
Oh, wait. Google owns them. I take it back. I'm sorry. I love eBay.
No. But no matter which way you decide to go, which platform that you like, that is a great little... an in-between way to go. Especially because some folks already have the eBay store, already have the Etsy store, but don't have any type of informational website, which I think if you're ready online, then the answer is yes.
You have to fill that presence out with information about your company.
So somebody can see a place where you control everything.
And that's a good point, because if you send somebody to eBay or to Etsy or to any one of these, or to Amazon, for example, you have no control over the products that they're going to see.
Yeah.
They're going to look at your store, but there's going to be all of these tempting ads over on the bottom or on the side. I'm waving my hand up and down to kind of indicate that it's on the side, by the way. So you're going to have all these other opportunities for your customers to leave your website.
Yeah.
Where that's one of the best things about having your own store and your own informational website is once they're there, they're there. They're yours.
Yeah. So I think that's great. So hopefully by now you've kind of decided which one that you need, or do you need something in between? And the great thing about it is, generally speaking, unless you're investing in something particularly expensive, it's not permanent. It's not forever.
And that's a really good point, because this is not a lifetime decision.
Mm-hmm.
If you create an informational website to start off with, you can easily add the e-commerce part to any website platform. There's none that does not allow you at some point or in some way to add a shopping cart.
So since I've been working on my transitions lately, I did that on purpose.
Okay.
Because how much money do you need to spend? Do you need to do it yourself? Do you need to pay somebody? when is it a mistake to do it yourself? When is it a mistake to pay somebody? I mean, it's all the same question. But DIY or not?
That is a question that even, like I said before, I build websites.
Mm-hmm.
And I still make that decision every time I go to build my next one. And I make it because you have to check a few things. And the first one is do you have any idea what you're doing?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so if you have no idea, if it was difficult for you to use Google or Bing or AOL to find the product that you're selling, if you don't use a computer every day anyway for more than just Facebook, then you may want to outsource the first one.
Yeah, and especially if you're kind of if your conversation would start with, well, I'm not that great at computers.
Right. Then it's a no. It's a no.
Then you don't. And that's fine. You don't, because you can learn over time.
This isn't a judgment. I can't digitize. You know. Yeah. You know what I mean. I can't. I'm terrible at tweaking artwork for a DTG print. You know, but if you're excellent at one of those things, but you're not comfortable on a computer, then the DIY thing's not going to be
right. Yeah, and with all the website stuff that I do, and in building sites and working on sites, when I'm on the Coleman & Company site, even then, there are certain things where I just say, I'm not going to try to do that. It's too right. much for me. It's too complicated. It involves too many moving parts on a live site. It's a bad idea for me to do it. However, if it's something else in that realm, if it's adjusting a part of the page or adding a new product or coming up with a new design for one specific page, I might want to do that myself. So you can have both.
It's the same combination of things that we were talking about before. You have somebody else build the site for you. And then you do the edits, you learn how to adjust the page content and things like
so,
that.
So in regards to if you do think you're a DIYer, because a lot of our customers are.
Yes.
They literally are. They are doing it themselves, creating apparel.
Right.
You know, they already know how to do things themselves. They probably enjoy doing things themselves. So
right.
They might want to do their own website. There's a lot of ways to go about it. So I think we could talk about a few of those
options. But first I have something that I want to make sure that everybody knows. That if you are a DIYer and you do create your own website, you've got to have some kind of built-in facility to be honest with yourself or know someone that will be honest with you about whether or not your website is terrible.
Yeah, okay. All
you know,
right.
Because I talk to a lot of people who are, or let's say I've talked to several people so far this year, who are very proud of the website that they built. And they'll send me a link to the website that they built, and I'll look, and I will literally cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks great if it was designed 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. But it's not, and it may be like what's familiar, what you're used to seeing. But you've got to have some kind of a facility for someone to tell you the website is ugly and not to hurt your feelings. And Mark and I will do that for you, by the way. I'll just say that right now. Especially Mark. He's got a reputation of being a little bit mean.
No, that's me. Yeah,
that's
there
me.
You go. Okay.
You can send me a link to your website, and I will tell you. I'll do an evaluation for you, and I'll let you know what looks good and not. I'll tell you, most of the time when DIYers do their own website, they're using maybe... you know, whatever their domain registration software package was, and they use a template that's a little outdated, and they don't change any of the colors, and the font is too big, and you know, I mean, there are a list of things that you can do wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the biggest advantage that most of our customers have is being able to do graphics, which I cannot do. You know, physically, I have no creative talent whatsoever, so... I look at some of the sites that our customers do, like I'm on the site for the nesting project right now. The graphics are beautiful, and that makes up 90% of a good website if you have good images. So we were talking about the outsourcing versus not.
Mm-hmm. So there's maybe some terminology that we should talk about so we can know, you know, what. So we're talking about e-commerce is one word that we want to talk about. That's what's going to be used, what you're going to see. You know, the word e-commerce and the word shopping cart, those mean a place where you can buy online. And then something else is CMS, or Content Management System.
God, that's a fancy word.
And that's a fancy word, and what that means is that's the software that your website is working on. When you're building a website nowadays, even people who are programmers aren't often staring at a screen of code.
Right.
And typing out all of the
They're almost never doing that.
There's a content management system, and that's a system that visually brings in, you know, if you're a coder, it would be code and visual. If you're not a coder, it's just the visual.
So let's say it this way. A CMS is a website software.
Yeah.
It's a software that you use to create a website, so you don't have to program.
Exactly. Okay. And a lot of them are template-based.
Yeah, and easy.
Yeah, and
I'm going to just mention my favorite one, which is WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, WordPress is really common. It's incredibly simple, and there's a lot of variety to it.
So there's, and then I would say, I put kind of, in my thought is, I put WordPress kind of at, WordPress for me is like level two.
Okay.
Okay? Like, because it can get weird.
Give me a level one before you describe what weird is.
So a level one might be Shopify.
Really? Okay.
There's another one that I've been hearing a lot about lately. Let me see if I can figure it out.
I'll fill in for a second.
Yeah,
I'll say that there's a package called Strikingly.
Okay.
That I just used recently. It's brand new, and it takes a profile from LinkedIn, which is a social media site for professionals that you can sign up for free. And what Strikingly will do is it will just turn your LinkedIn profile into a website. And if you want to see that, you can go to markjstevenson.com and see what that website looks like. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do anything but upload images and do a little text editing, and you're done.
So I was thinking of three different ones.
Okay.
Okay. So let's back up for a second. When I mentioned Shopify, that one is going to be an e-commerce site.
Yes.
Okay. Then for an info site, your Wix.
Right.
Is extremely easy.
Yes.
W-I-X.
W-I-X.
Web.com is, they're kind of going to build it for you, and you're going to pay more of a premium fee.
Yeah.
But you've got a designer behind it.
Okay.
And then Squarespace is a new one that has been growing a lot lately.
Okay, I haven't looked at those.
Yeah, and that's that one's, again, really easy. You know nothing. There's no programming involved. There's no you're not going to be uploading a zip file and waiting for it to install. You know, you run into a little bit of that stuff in WordPress
yeah.
Where you've got to download a theme, and is your theme compatible with this? And then you've got to... Well, do you
yep,
need to
agreed.
Upgrade?
There's a little messy to
there's
it.
There's a little bit of a mess to it. It requires some thought. Sometimes it can break, and you've
right.
got to figure out how to fix it, or you've got to contact support
yes.
Through whoever makes it. So, but it's because of the freedom that's allowed in it. The
right.
more freedom you have to build something, the more...
That's true. Like, for example, in Strikingly, you have two or three themes. There's no shopping cart abilities at all. And you just pick one, and you're done. You don't have a lot of editing.
Yeah, and I've been on Squarespace, and when I've been on there, I've noticed that they have, you know, they do have commerce pages and not, but there's a lot of really cool themes, but and you can drag and drop and move things around, but there's limitations.
Right.
So this is the one that we get a lot nowadays. I want to be able to make a website where my customers can go on, design their own shirt.
Right.
And then order it.
Which we're not talking about yet. I mean,
yeah.
that is the advanced class, definitely.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to mention that
yeah.
is because this is where we start, you know, going into the DIY or not.
Yes.
You know, some of these things, when you're asking for really specific or complex things, you start going further and further into that realm of the...
And you'll be surprised at how quickly the price or the difficulty of doing it yourself goes up.
Yes.
It's an exponential growth.
Yeah.
It's like somebody coming, if you've got a DTG printer or a screen print shop, say, hey, here is a black Anvil t-shirt I would like you to print white letters on. versus someone bringing you, you know, in a live puppy and saying, "I want you to screen print my name around its back."
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah, and it really does grow.
I actually really like that example.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to try that again in real life.
Okay, so here, Mark had mentioned sites like Wix.com, which really is simple and it's great to do. I do want to jump ahead to one of my pet peeves, though.
All right, yeah.
And that's with both WordPress and Wix. Initially, what they'll try to do is have you have your own domain name, and then it'll be .wix.com or .wordpress.com. And I think that if you have even a moderately sophisticated customer base, that kind of turns people off. There's a little bit of a, oh, you know, I mean.
Well, we've discussed this in email marketing as well.
Yeah.
You know, at gmail.com is fine. It works.
Right.
But if it's at, you know, myembroiderybusiness.com, you know, whatever your website might be, that's...
Now you're looking like a pro. It's $1 a shirt. I think that's worth at least $1 a shirt. Just having, you know, a professional address. Oh, Gmail, you probably work in your house. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to go back to that email thing a second because this is something...
Okay, go ahead.
If you use, say, Gmail or Yahoo, you can still use that exact same platform and pay for a professional version that has your website name at the
end. You can.
And nothing changes.
Yeah, it's
literally nothing changes.
It's two different ideas.
So anyway, I just wanted to say that again because I see it every day and I talk about it. And I say, it will make you look good. People will appreciate it. But that's true on the website. You want to have your domain, your website address as the whole thing across the top.
So we've talked a little bit about platforms maybe, and we talked about making sure that if you are a DIYer, that you have someone that feels comfortable telling you, you know, that it's ugly. You know, so can you be objective? Let's talk about, by the way, and that's another thing that's not, just like the e-commerce and not e-commerce, it's not a permanent decision.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's not a 100% decision. You can split the difference. You can split the difference on creating a website too. So you could do some of it DIY, you know, you could have somebody do, you know, 80% of it or get it all up and running, and then you just do the images, or you just do the editing or the pricing or something along those lines.
Yeah, and you could have somebody set up the store for you, and then you add all the products in.
So my next little tick mark here is to talk about time versus cost, and I get to say it first so I don't have to answer the question. So Mark, how much is it to get my website created?
Okay, I was actually just thinking of the same question. How much do you have to spend?
Yeah.
So you can, we'll start with free, okay?
Yep.
Or almost free. That basically means that you've gone to one of these Squarespace or Wix or Shopify, and you're talking about getting their basic platform, something like, you know, just $100 for a year, you know, and it's very minimalistic. It doesn't come with very much at all, but you get your website name up there and you have to do everything yourself.
Yes.
And usually that doesn't include e-commerce or a shopping cart or anything like that. So that's kind of your minimum is maybe $100 or less.
To get started.
And then $50,000
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you want to be. You want to really start to justify, is it worth, do I have enough customers and enough potential in there that I need to have this custom designed artwork creation platform on my website that is custom programmed for me with all my dreams and thoughts, which are probably awesome ideas.
Yes.
I'm not going to discount that those ideas aren't awesome because I've heard some ones I'm like, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That would cost $75,000.
Yeah. I want to have a picture. I want my customer to be able to see themselves in a shirt.
Yeah.
From all sides and spin around and be able to change the colors.
Yeah.
No problem. It'll be $1 million.
Yeah. And a lot of those, and I've heard so many cool ideas.
Yeah.
And then, but I always come back to, well, how many shirts do you have to sell to justify that?
That is a great one. I also kind of want to put a cap on that. I mean, let's be a little bit realistic. I will say in my professional career, I've never spent more on a small website than $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And on the biggest website I've ever worked on, I think I probably spent $11,000. So in most sites that I've created, it's around $500 or $600 for an informational site or a very basic e-commerce site. Does that sound about right, Mark?
Yeah, it really depends who you're working with.
Okay.
You know, it really depends because I have some friends who are web designers and programmers that would, you know, that would listen to you say that and then laugh at you and say, I would never even think of doing a website for only $1,000.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it really depends on who you work with, what they specialize in.
True.
And maybe the person that, if you are talking to somebody or if your brother owns a web design company and he's like, I wouldn't do anything for under $5,000.
Right.
Maybe he is or isn't the person for you.
Right.
So it's a tricky line to walk on.
I'll take that.
But my honest answer.
Yeah.
Is if I wanted an informational website for my new T-shirt business,
yes.
I wanted to pay somebody to do it. I know for sure I can get something amazing done for under $1,000.
Yes,
amazing.
Okay,
not good.
Amazing.
Like it would look so cool. For
right.
Under $1,000. Now, when you're getting into the e-commerce stuff and customization, you know, I've seen some $10,000 websites. That I can see why it was.
Yeah.
And it's worth it. But again, how many shirts do you have to sell to make that money back? And is that your goal right now?
Right.
And do you have that money right now? Are you going to go into debt $10,000 and do you have a true plan for that website to take off?
Yeah, and you've got to do that time versus money calculation. So, you know, if you, let's say you need a $3,000 website for some reason.
Sure, yeah.
You need a $3,000 website. And you may be able to do it yourself. So you've got to do that time versus expense calculation yourself. You know, you've got to say, okay, I can learn how to do the website stuff because I'm great at computers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to do the site, and it's going to take me 60 days of 2 hours a night. You know, okay, well, could you be doing something else to make more than $3,000 with that time?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really a calculation, like how much is your time worth that goes into deciding whether or not you want to farm it out or not.
Yeah, and I actually, I've thought about that, I think about that every day with what I do here, but I've thought about that's a good podcast topic, too, on just talking about that.
Making that decision.
Yeah, making that decision, but this is a perfect one in that is the DIY or not going to be good for you? If you've decided that it's going to cost you, say, $1,000 to do this, you know, how quick can you have it up and running? Could you be focusing your time on something else that you're better at?
Yeah.
So it's still going to that DIY or not question. It's not always easy, but I'm just going to say one way or another, make the decision.
Right.
Make the decision and jump on it.
And let me just put in here that because you mentioned the brother-in-law or brother that has a web business, it is so rarely a good idea to have your nephew who's good with computers do your website. You know what I mean? It's those relying on those family connections or a friend of a friend that'll do it for free. I mean, you're going to get what you pay for in the end. Because if it's someone that you care about that's doing the website for you, like I said earlier, just like with you, and what you should do is you're not going to tell them it's ugly, I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to end up with something that you're not happy with just because, hey, the guy's doing it for free, he's doing me a favor, I don't want to tell him that I don't want 72-point text all over my website.
Yeah.
You know, I would feel bad if I did that. And you don't want somebody cutting their teeth on your website unless you're willing to tell them that it's just not good enough to put up.
Yeah, and I think that is one of those things where it's a decision. It's a decision to make. Don't just say automatically, you know, my nephew just graduated from this school, so he's going to make my website for me, because just think about it is
right.
All I'm saying. It might be a great idea.
Imagine the consequences, though.
Yeah.
Just picture, okay, so what if it's a terrible website and you hate it? Then what are you going to do?
Yeah, and are they going to be able to, do they have a full-time job already?
Right.
Are they the type of person that is a workaholic, that after their full-time job, they're going to work on it more already? You have to think about all of those things. So this, not only are you going to do it yourself, but then who's going to do it for you? And then remember, when choosing that, I would talk to multiple people. Because I have quoted on websites before in the past, over many, many years, where I've gotten multiple quotes, and for the same website where I have the same conversation, I've been quoted from 1,000 to 10,000.
Right.
For the same thing.
Yes.
So don't rely on...
I've been through the same thing.
Yeah, don't rely on one quote. Get seven. Get as many as you want. But the first person that tells you, oh, no, you can't do that unless you spend $5,000, might be right, they might be wrong.
Right.
You know, so talk about it. And so they've decided they want a website. Maybe they're still trying to figure out if they want to do it themselves or not. And I think part of that decision is what has to be on a website.
Right. Before we do that, I just want to mention that if you, whether or not you're going to build it yourself or not, and it kind of tails into the checklist that we're going to go through next, whether or not you're going to build it yourself or not, you should start with one, with several websites that you like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the first thing that a website designer is going to ask you, what you should design is, okay, what should my website look like? Well, I don't know. Let's find some websites that you really love in your space. If you've got an embroidery business or screen printing or rhinestones or whatever, find somebody's website that you really love, and what are the parts about it that you really like?
Yeah.
Is it the pictures? Is it the layout? Is it the color scheme? And then when you go to do your checklist or talk to a designer or design your own site, you've got a list of things that says, okay, well, you know, I like these colors. They match my logo. I like the menu down the left-hand side. I like to have a slider with different pictures. I like to have big color photos of one product on the front page or 10 products on the front page. You know, you have all those things kind of mapped out. And that way, when you get started, it'll be faster. And when you hand that to a designer, you'll just see them visibly relax.
Yeah, that is really going to help you get a particularly good quote and make sure you get what you want. If you can't find the website within your own realm, find something slightly out of it or with it. So if you're an embroidery business, you can look at, you know, fishing equipment websites.
Right,
you can look at purse websites. You know, you can look at websites that sell other things. But if you like the design of it, that's all that's important. A web designer, you could have, it could be a bait and tackle website.
Right.
You know, and you're selling a bling website, but you could say, this is what I like about this.
Now, what you'll probably end up doing is just, you know, you'll end up going to ColemanandCompany.com and say, I just want to do that.
Yeah.
I just want to be exactly like Coleman and Company.
Thank you. That's probably
what's going to happen on the shopping cart side. And on the, you know, on the informational site side, you're going to go to coldessie.com and you're going to decide that that's what you
want. Yeah, just make me that.
Yeah, just make me that. As a matter of fact, you'll change your company name. All right, so let's talk about a checklist, exactly what needs to be on any website, not just an informational website.
Okay. So first is just create a checklist, I think, is actually what people need to do. You get on Notepad and you write, these are all the things I want to have. So you want to have a way for people to contact you, okay? And then you get into, do you want to publish a phone number or not?
Nope. Right. So we're talking about two things.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a way for people to contact you, then there's a contact us page.
Yes.
And down at the bottom of the website, what Google likes is they like to see contact us information in what's called the footer, the bottom of the website.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a business that you're willing to publish the address, then you're going to want that down at the bottom of the website. If not, you're going to want your phone number, your email address, etc.
Yeah, yeah. The more information you're willing to share as far as, for one, what I mentioned about in the beginning as far as it being legitimizing you and building trust and 'cause that's to me is most of what a website is about building trust for people. So if they're thinking about buying from you and they can easily call you, email you, or fill out a contact form or whatever, the easier you make that for people, the more likely they are. How many times have you maybe given up on a website?
Listen, how many times have you gone to a cable television website, you know, trying to figure out how to get your, you know, Verizon or CenturyLink or Roadrunner cable connection fixed, or to talk to somebody about it, and it takes you a week to try to find, okay, contact us. Where's just a phone number so I can call somebody?
Yeah, yeah. So there's an argument to be made about not having a number, and, you know, we can go into that another day. But the bottom line is have a way for people to contact you.
Yes.
Even if it's just a form. If you're that apprehensive about people reaching out to you, you know, I would make an argument against that.
Yes.
But if at least have that. Make it easy for people. Don't end, and it doesn't need to be a big cumbersome thing.
Yeah. Name, address, phone number, what do you want?
Yeah, yeah. And, well, and it's like, do I need to have the name and the first name, last right. name, name, phone email, number, address? Yeah, yeah. Do you need all of those things? Maybe, you know, but do you? And then if you don't, get rid of it. Right. Make it easy for people to fill out so they can reach out to you and ask whatever questions they want. If you can, if you're willing to put a little live chat type of thing on your website.
I don't even want to get started on that. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
you know, you can make tool. That go to your mobile phone. You right. know, I mean, have a conversation with that, with the person that's going to design your site for you or the company that you're going to do it through. But you'll see that everywhere.
And the bare minimum is you want contact information and a contact us form that people can fill out and that you'll actually look at and respond.
So then the next, not the next, that this is an order of importance, but the other thing that you're going to need next is what you do. A nice, clear explanation of the things you do and slash do not do.
Yes.
And the products you offer. And have other people read it for you that maybe don't know what you do.
That could be right on the home page if you wanted it to. It could be part of an About Us section that we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that I mean, people have to know what you do. If your name is Benson Designs, what do you design?
Yeah.
You know what? Are you an architect? Are you, you know, but if you go to the front page of that website and you'll see, okay, well, it's a custom t-shirt business. And then you click on the About Us to find out about the people that own it. You know, where they are, how you got started, you know, things along those lines are very important.
Yeah, and then there's the About Us page. That's a common one. You know, yes. It's a specific page. It says, you know, About Us. You know, to me, that is a part, you know, that's another part of the trust thing, the relationship thing that you're building with people.
Yes.
That's an opportunity for, if you meet somebody at a ball game, and what do you do? And you give them your elevator pitch, which we've talked about in another episode. That was in the sales episode.
Yes.
No, that one was in the the social marketing, not social media, which is episode 3. We talked about that. But in that, you know, you have that opportunity to say that in real life. Oh, yeah, I got, you know, in 2009, I decided I wanted to do this, and I've been doing it for 6 years, and I love it, blah, blah, blah. Well, the About Us page, or whatever you want to call it, about me, about us, you know, our company, our history, our story.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of ways to say it. It's an opportunity for the people who are curious about you, for you to just tell them literally.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to connect. I mean, honestly, we have a huge number of customers that are veterans, you know, that have gone into the apparel decorating business after they retired from service. You know, so put your... You know, put your unit in there. Put how long you served. Put where you were. Put who you are and why you started this business. And that is a great way to connect with people. You know, if you showed horses, you know, in your teens and loved it and still wanted to stay around that business, so you started a horse blanket embroidery business, you know, then put that in there. It's a great, great way to connect.
Yeah, and that's like, and another thing is also to help, if you're talking about a niche market that you've got a lot of knowledge about. Say, for example, you were a dancer from when you were 5 years old till you were 30 years old, you know, and then you started a business doing dance wear.
Yes.
You know, you could talk about that 25 years of dancing that you did. And you could say, like, I did this and I did that, and I remember getting this uniform and it was terrible. You could tell these little stories, and then when people are going to choose you, you know, or they're going to your website to figure you out, I would love to work with her because she knows me and what I've done.
Right, yeah, I like that, and I'm going to talk about that in a second when we talk about whether or not you want to do a blog as well. But the next page that I really think is vitally important is how to order. You know, how do you place them? That content has to be on your website somewhere. Is how are you going to click here to order my products on Etsy or eBay, or is it fill out that information on the contact form, like Mark mentioned earlier, where, you know, here's another form that you go to. How many hats do you want? How big's your logo? You know, what's the situation? What do you want to order?
Yeah, get a free estimate, get a quote.
And you can also put in there the kind of parameters for your order. Say, hey, if you're ordering more than 1 million t-shirts, it's going to take me more than a week. Uh-huh. You know, our average turnaround time is 10 days. You know, what you don't want to put which I have actually seen on websites before, is a list of things that you're not interested in.
Okay.
So what I see is, hey, I'm not going to accept a single order. If you have crappy artwork, I'm not going to do your shirt. Please don't call me if you need a polo. You know, like this whole list of things that you're not interested in doing.
No rush orders in all caps. And I just have that. I'm going to say it, and I've said it, and I'm going to continue to say it. Like, just don't. You don't have to be abrasive with your customers.
Right.
You know, and I always try to fix that. And I've seen some of that stuff on when I started on with other companies that I've worked for, and even, you know, Coleman and Company website. When I find a page, and I'm like, why does it say that? I feel so mean.
Right.
You know, just.
I'm gonna interject and be a little bit defensive of some of our customers here, which is very uncharacteristic of me. What I'm gonna say is that most of the people, I would say, that get into this business, they don't have any retail or customer service experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are thinking about business, they're thinking about the way they talk to other people that they used to work with about the same stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you work for a big plumbing company and you're doing the screen printing internally for the plumbing company and somebody says, hey, can you do 1/4XL in a blue, you're going to tell them, no, get the hell out of my office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't do that to customers if it's your business.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to learn how to write and speak a little bit more like a sales guy.
Yeah, and I think that is perfectly worded. So your instructions don't have to be on what not to do on your contact page or about page. You know, let people reach out to you first.
And then tell them.
And then
go pound sand, basically. Just tell them to get up.
And also, because sometimes, this is another little, this is a sales thing, is that somebody who thinks they want something, in the end, might not actually go and buy that. So they came onto your website because they thought they wanted 2 4XL shirts, you know, and then they talk to you and you're like, why do you want 2? Oh, I'm just buying a couple of replacements for me and another guy. Well, oh, is it a new design? Yeah. Well, do you want all your guys to match?
Yeah,
I do.
It's an opportunity to talk to somebody.
You know, it's an opportunity to talk. I guess I do actually want that, you know, or whatever it might be. So it's an opportunity to talk to somebody. So we've got, you know, how to order. We've got the about us, the about me, the
contact us.
Contact. You know, do you want your location or not? What you do. And then you had mentioned about a blog.
Yeah, and that's kind of a tough choice, too, because if you don't know, a blog does not have to be a separate website. It can be a separate set of pages on an existing website. And it's easy to add. And what that is just a... It's one or a series of articles that you write about your experiences, about your business, about your product, or something related to that.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what do you need one? The answer is, I think the short answer is no. You don't need one. The purpose of one is to provide your customers information that will be beneficial to them, usually.
Yes.
And then in turn, search engines will realize that, that you are an authority on this information, that you know a lot about it, and they can figure it out through all of their logarithms and mathematical going through your website, and that you know enough about this topic, and then when people are searching online, they will find you.
Right, like the lady that Mark supposed a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, she spent 25 years in dance before she opened up her apparel business. Well, I mean, she can write about, you know, teaching kids how to dance. She can write about running a dance business. She can write about all of these things related to the... She could even, you know, you could even do a review of the last dance competition.
Yeah.
And then when someone is searching online in your area for any of those things, how valuable would it be if you sell dance apparel for someone to be looking for dance classes for kids and find you?
Yeah.
Pretty valuable.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's where it comes to. And then I think, what are you going to say? If you have a blog, what's the big caveat? What's the thing that you have to do?
You have to actually write in it. Okay. You have to actually add articles to the blog. We talked about this before we got started.
Mm-hmm.
I have 17 blogs. Mark has blogs. And ideally, you should be posting on your blog at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what all the books say.
Yeah.
And we're lucky if we can squeeze in times to do, you know, one or two posts a month.
Yeah, and it does. It takes time.
Yeah.
You know, writing content takes time, and writing good content takes time.
Even more time.
Yeah, so it that's a choice. If you so I would say, you know, here's the answer to the blog question, okay?
Yes.
If you really want search engine optimization, if you want to prove to search engines that you're an authority on the topic, then because searching for you without having to pay for it is important to you, the answer is yes. If you don't like to write, but that first answer is still yes, the answer is still yes. Now you have to pay somebody to do it.
Right.
Okay. So the second is do you need that? Maybe not necessarily, because you can use some of your other techniques, which I think we should talk about in a podcast in regards to getting set up online and being found locally searchable. And there's a lot of other things you could do. You don't need a blog to be able to have that happen.
No, I mean, I have blogs all over the place for that specific reason, is to help people find our businesses online.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's also the thing where you have to actually be writing in it on a pretty regular basis. The worst thing that you could do is have a blog and the date on the last blog post is 2011.
Yeah.
Which I see all the time and it drives me nuts.
Because then somebody just, oh.
Yeah,
I'm done. You kind of give that, oh. So if you do have a website and you're listening to this and you have a blog and your last blog post was 2011, go uncheck the box that says, like, live.
Show the date.
Yeah.
No, just delete where the date is so no one knows.
You know, just get rid of it. So I think that's kind of the minimum info on the website, in my opinion. Now, somebody who's a web designer, you know, they might come back from that checklist and tell you 9 other things that they think you have to have, which all of these things are debatable. So what we're talking about is if you don't have at least those things, why do you have the website?
Yeah, and the first icing I'm going to put on that cake are some social links.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to go to the trouble of having a content website, you should at least have somewhere where it links to your Facebook profile. And if you have a Google Plus or a Twitter or any of those fancy things, then you can have that as well. But you should at least make it easy for people to share your content on Facebook.
Yeah.
That would be
good.
A minimum.
Very good. So,
okay, I think we're on pet peeves now.
Yeah.
I always love this section because we get to say what we really mean.
So, the first, I spoke about a pet peeve already, and I'm going to talk about it again. I'm going to talk about another podcast, but you don't need all these abrasive, giant letter, red bold caps, things that you don't want your customers to do. We all have it. It's frustrating when a customer sends you a screenshot of their logo and says, "I'll print this for me."
Right.
You know, that's a frustrating thing. However, it's not their fault.
Don't be angry in advance
anyway. So any of those, you could have an FAQ page, you know, which could be a minimum, but, you know, have an FAQ page, and in that FAQ page, go there. Send people to the FAQ page, even in nice big text, say, "Hey, want to make sure you're ordering right? ? Please read my FAQs." And
yes.
There you can have all of those disclaimers, but don't punch them in the face on your front page in the header. So that's one of my big ones.
Okay, I've got a very big one, and it drives me crazy all the time, and that is bad photos or bad graphics. So modern cell phones and smartphones have fantastic cameras.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to take a picture of something, use one of those. Do not use any camera that you bought before 2000, the year 2000. I don't care what it looks like. Just don't use it. Use your phone and turn the lights on. You know, just make sure that you have, that it's reasonably well lit, and take a picture of it.
You know, I think I wrote a blog post on this. I'm looking for it right now.
But you don't remember because you write so many blog posts. Yeah, no, I mean, it is very true that a bad picture, especially a bad picture of your product. I know when we add rhinestones to the Coleman & Company site, for example, it's a particularly difficult product to photograph.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you search the internet for rhinestone photos and you'll see a lot of terrible artwork. And we have excellent ones, by the way, and excellent illustrations about it that give you the right idea. So that's one of those places where you've really got to have somebody that you can trust to tell you it's ugly. take a photo, put it on your website, and have someone look on it and look at it and say, what do you think? And to have them give an honest answer.
Yeah, and another thing is the aspect ratio, you know, is the word. But if a picture is supposed to be a certain amount width,
yes,
tall,
yes,
but the template that you have needs to be a square, but your your image is a rectangle, you can't do that.
Don't let it auto reconfigure. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you have to.
You don't really like the tall people with skinny heads.
Yeah, and it doesn't look good. Nobody's going to like it. Nobody's going to go to your website and be like, man, I wish they had a picture of their embroidery. Oh, that picture's, it's all stretched out, but yeah, I get the point.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody says that, right? You know? They're going to judge, I mean, true or not, and fair or not, if you decide to put a photo on your website, which you have to do, websites have to have pictures, then people are going to judge the quality of you, your business, and your work by the quality of that picture. So yeah. Just keep in mind every time you do that. And we'll put a link to Mark's blog post when he finds it. Okay, that's good. So we'll definitely put a link
in. Now, I wrote this in 2014, so the content is now out of date.
Yeah, it is, completely. Pictures are different.
But, you know, I mean, I talked about, you know, get more light, steady, you know, don't have a dirty lens, you know, use something decent. It's a really short post, but I think it kind of just nails, you know, some of the little things that we run into.
Okay.
What else? What do you have?
Other pet peeves. Well, you had mentioned broken links.
Yeah.
And I love those. So go ahead and describe why you don't like
them. A broken link means it says, click here. And you click there. It doesn't literally say the word click there. It's something you can click. And you click it, and it does nothing. It goes nowhere.
Or worse than going nowhere, it goes to one of those pages that say 404 page redirect. So it looks like you've made some kind of internet mistake, and they're about to knock on your door and come get you.
Or worse, it goes to one of those, like, fake search engine
type
of things.
You know,
like
the portal pages.
Yeah, you're sending your customer to, like, a spam haven. So you know, frequently, it's hard. Coleman and Company, I don't know how many links we have on our site. I don't remember.
There's a million.
I don't remember the number, but it's got 50s.
Right.
You know, so you're not going to have that many. So it's a nice thing that frequently, you know, once every so often, you go on there and you do a little evaluation on your site every once in a while. Click on your links, make sure it works, check the pictures.
I'll give you a hint on where stuff like that usually occurs on apparel decorating websites. That's if you've done a show, or if there's a show coming up, or if there's an event that you're participating in, and so you're excited and you have a link out to that event.
Yeah.
And when it's over, they pull down the page, or now the event was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So those are all examples of broken links.
And that's a good time. Anytime those events are over, it's perfectly fine to go on there and remove that link if you need to as well. You know, that doesn't hurt.
Okay, and the last pet peeve that we had written down in advance is about outdated messages.
Mm-hmm.
So just like your Christmas lights at your house, by February, they should be down.
Yeah.
Okay? It's the same thing with holiday messages, vacation messages. Anything that you put on your website as a kind of a personal or timely message to your customers, then you should monitor those very closely and do not leave them up.
Well, I
I'm sorry, just like Hanukkah lights as well. So, okay. You know, we don't want to.
You're just inclusive.
I want to be inclusive.
Yeah, no, I like that you're that type of person. There was something that I saw the other day that was funny. It wasn't quite the other day. It was maybe March or April. But there's a gym down the road from here.
Yep.
A few miles. And it said, lose those pounds before the holidays. And I'm just like, it's March.
4th of July? Is that the holiday that you want to lose weight for?
It's like April. What holiday am I needing to lose the pounds
for? April Fool's Day?
You know, I know what they meant, but whoever had that put that up there. You know, and another one that I drive by and I see every single day, the Lightning were in the playoffs and
yes.
The Stanley Cup. And there's a still this morning I saw it, you know, go Bolts, go get that cup.
There are miles long signs hanging from hotels in downtown Tampa that still have that sign up.
Yeah.
Which I support 100%. So that doesn't apply. But if you were in another city, that had something similar, then that would be bad.
Yeah, so this it's on your website. If you had a special for the summer, you know, take it down. And it's not summer anymore.
True.
If there's a holiday coming up, you know, and if you're advertising that you're going to sell Halloween shirts, like, that's a great time to do it in September and October.
Yes. If you're closed New Year's Day and it's not almost New Year's Day, take that down.
Yeah. And that rule applies to a lot of other things. Voicemail messages.
Right.
Email. Yes. Automatic email replies.
Just the little stuff.
You know, all of those things. But, yeah, I mean, keep your messages up to date and make sure that just frequently check the content on your website, period,
right,
to make sure that things make sense and the things that you're referencing and talking about are still relevant. So website, I think this can circle all the way back to the beginning. Do you need one? We've talked about a lot of things that you have to do with your website.
Yes.
And you can envision how much time you would spend on it. Do you need one? Do you have that time? You know, all of those things come into play.
Right, because we've been talking about whether or not you need a website for at least half an hour.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the time to invest in the conversation, then you probably don't have the time to invest in doing a website.
Yeah, but I, you know, my final answer on the answer is going to be, it's still going to be yes, get one. Keep it simple. Follow the rules that we talked about. Try not to make the little mistakes and pet peeves. And it sounds like it can sound overwhelming in a lot, but a lot of times our customers have these nice info websites that an hour or two a month on.
Yeah.
Just keeping them up to date.
And in my conclusion, I'm going to also say yes, that you should have some kind of a website, even if it's just a one-page informational site with all the information that we discussed. And I think that's a necessary part of being in business today.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds great.
So I think we've talked enough about this. We could, as usual, on any topic in the podcast, talk for an unlimited amount of time about all the variations and things that you could do. Both Mark and I are happy to answer questions if you email us at host@caspodcast.com. And we'd just like you to do a couple of things now. Now that you've suffered through the whole thing with us, we'd like you to do a few things, and that is, if you're listening to us on iTunes or through iTunes, please rate us on iTunes. And the next thing is that we'd love for you to share the podcast. Share it on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google+. If you don't know what any of those things are or do, go get them and then share. It's that important to us. So do that. And then we've got a Facebook group.
Yeah, the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. And the membership on that literally grows every single day. It's becoming a really big community, an active community. If you're in the apparel decorating industry, if you're thinking about getting into it, it's a place just to see what people do, ask questions, answer questions. Because Mark is the one that clicked those buttons on Facebook.
Right.
And he came to me and he's like, I made this, you know, and I was like, cool, you know, and I was like, cool, you know, and I thought it was a good idea, but I wasn't like, it wasn't a groundbreaking idea. But,
fine.
But what I really mean about it is that what you did in starting that is you started the footwork of this community that is now like really exciting.
There is about 800. Imagine being able to sit down if you're about to start a business or just in business with 850 people that are in your shoes or were in your shoes recently and talk about stuff. It's that valuable. So that's Custom Apparel Startups inside Facebook. Join the group. I'm happy to hit the approve button when you apply. Rate, share, and then listen to
us. Yeah, and both of us are on there.
Yeah,
so
true.
So we'll answer questions on there about anything or any comments you might have. So thanks a lot for listening today.
Yep, thanks very much. And we will catch you next time.
Yeah, see you on Facebook.